This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Chip Harding is sheriff of Albemarle County here in Central Virginia. Good friend of the program. He joins us live in studio. It's good to see you. How are you?
Good to be here. Great.
Thanks for coming in. I know you're very busy. I appreciate your time. We want to get a full update. You're now, a year and a few months into your into your term?
Goes fast.
I bet it does.
Particularly when you're having fun.
Yeah. We want to find out everything that's going on, but first I got to ask you, your family has been in the news recently because of your daughter. Remind us again what's going on, why she was in the news, and what's going on.
Oh, thank goodness she looks like her mama, huh? Tyra Banks selected her to be in America's Next Top Model, and she was in that, had a blast. She spent about 6 weeks in Los Angeles filming that. And Saturday, she just graduated from Radford College with a degree in business marketing.
Oh, good for her.
With
That's
honors.
Great.
I'm so proud of her.
That's fantastic.
And today, as we speak, she's actually in New York on a photo shoot, and she's going to give the modeling thing a shot, and if it doesn't work out, she'll use her degree.
So good for her.
She's excited, and we're excited for her.
Well, a lot of folks make a lot of money in that business. I hope it works out for her. That's fantastic.
Me too. I'm looking forward to retirement with her.
We're talking with Chip Harding, Sheriff of Albemarle County. Chip, take us back to your campaign and your election just over a year ago. And what I'd like to do is sort of remind folks what you ran on and then bring us up to date how you have sort of worked on those kind of, how your platform has been brought to life now.
Okie doke. Well, after having 30 years with the Charlottesville Police Department, I retired there as captain when I became the elected sheriff in January of 2008. So I'm about a third of the way through my elected period, and I'll have to run all over again, go out and knock on all those doors and spend time, which was fun. My wife did it with me, and we had a blast. I've never done anything like that before.
I was going to say, that was a totally new thing for you.
It was completely new. The hardest thing for me was raising the $75,000, going to people and trying to explain to them what I wanted to do and see if they would help me out. I just hate asking people for money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that is the toughest part. I know because I work in this business. That is the toughest part with people who want to run for office. They're like you. They're talented. They have skills that would help the public. They want to serve. But the hardest part is to get on the phone or look somebody in the eye and say, I not only need your vote, I need some money because these, yard signs and mailers, and they're not free.
Yeah, and my opponent started putting the signs up in July, and I had planned on September, and we got into a sign war. People said, well, are you really running or not? Because we're only seeing his signs. So we got into a sign war, and some people were complaining, and I was looking at proposing a county ordinance that would prohibit putting signs up more than within 6 weeks of the election. And then I had some lawyers explain to me that the ACLU would probably defeat that, and then they have defeated signage ordinances like that. So I didn't want to come out of the box proposing something that got defeated. So what I'm probably going to do, whoever runs against me next time, I'm going to challenge them not to put their signs up to so many days prior to the election. And if they won't do it, I won't do it. We won't get a sign war started and ruin the landscape of beautiful Albemarle.
It starts to look a little messy, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does.
I mean, I'm all for democracy, but sometimes it does get a little messy.
Yeah, it does.
We're talking with Chip Harding, Sheriff of Albemarle County. So I didn't mean to interrupt you. When you ran, remind us what your message was to voters that clearly resonated as you were elected.
Well, Coy, what I said first of all is core service delivery, and that's the security of the courts, and that's transporting mental patients and prisoners, and that's civil process. And what I've done with that so far, I was not an expert in courtroom security, having been a police officer with the city and investigations and all that for so many years in narcotics. So I had an outside assessment team of professionals come in and do a courtroom security assessment. And with that, we've made a number of changes. And the largest ones, we've added two new posts, two new metal detectors are being manned, one in the circuit court and one in general district court. And we've been able to use our core of our reserve unit of volunteers that don't charge anything to the county to really help fill in some of those gaps. So we were able to add about 100 hours worth of manpower without any additional cost to Albemarle County.
I like the sound of that. So explain how that works. I mean, is that a nationally unique thing or unique in the state to have this many citizens come forward and volunteer hours?
Well, I mean, I think it's not completely unique. There's some agencies that use reserve units, and our reserve unit now will have a graduating class of about 13 in the first of June. I'm trying to keep it between 40 and 45. that actually carry handguns and have the 150 hours worth of training and are sworn. But I'm also asking people that will go on a website and look at our different initiatives. You can volunteer and work directly in with initiatives. Say, search and rescue. About 3 weeks ago, I went to the public and said, you know, would you like to work with them? We had 80 different citizens call and say, I'm interested. We had 50 people at our training that we did Saturday before last.
That's great.
And that's, you know, no charge to the taxpayer. These are, I mean, Albemarle County and Charlottesville, too, has got a wonderful base of people, dedicated folks that are willing to volunteer the time to help out the community.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you're just providing another outlet for that where people can serve the
right.
public.
So the core part, we looked at it with a security, from the security aspect. The other three components on my platform was to take a look at the internet crimes against children and try to have a task force. I've actually joined, have an MOU now with Bedford County with the Southern ICAC Task Force. I have some men now that have been trained. One of them is a reservist who's did a master's on internet crime against children. He works for the does work for the federal government. And they're available to come out and do crime prevention, and they're also available to assist primary investigators from the city or county if requested on investigations. The next component was getting nonviolent offenders out of the jail or not having to report to jail on weekends and out working. And I had Colonel Matthews go with me down to Norfolk and visit the jail down there where my buddy Bob McCabe's the sheriff. And Bob actually bids contracts, cleanup contracts, and fills them with an inmate workforce, and he makes enough money on those that he can pay for the security guards to guard the inmates to do the work, and he helps them out by knocking have the judges cooperate by knocking $8 an hour off any court costs and fines. And where we are with that right now, the Thomas Jefferson Community Criminal Justice Board, we're looking at overcrowding, and Jim Hensley over at the Public Defender's Office has a group of folks, advisory board, that are going to meet with me the first week in June and discuss maybe taking this on as a project. So I'm really thrilled. You know, I heard a state senator recently say that it's costing so much to incarcerate, and this guy was a former police officer, and he's as conservative as I am when it comes to law enforcement. We have to decide as a public who we're afraid of, and we need to lock those people up, and who we're mad at. And it's usually the nonviolent offender, we have to look for alternatives that are cheaper to the taxpayer but yet hold those folks accountable. And I think these workforce programs can do just that. I think it can be a win-win for the community.
We're talking with Albemarle County Sheriff Chip Harding. You know, I recently spoke with Senator Jim Webb, and this is an initiative that he has just launched, and he's proposed legislation that we have a national Blue Ribbon Commission look at changes to our criminal justice system for that very reason, that it makes fiscal sense to go back and look at who we lock up, because it costs us a fortune to lock up these nonviolent criminals. And I think you put it so well, to have a distinction between who we're afraid of, who is a threat to society, right, and who we're just mad at. You don't necessarily need to lock those right. folks away. Right. You know, I'm thinking of nonviolent drug offenders. Those drug courts work, don't they? I mean, you don't necessarily have to put these people away and throw
Absolutely
away the key.
Absolutely not. I'm a very strong believer in the drug courts, and our drug court locally has been very, very successful, and it's saving a lot of taxpayer dollar, and it's helping folks that truly, in their heart, want to change. You know, you can't make somebody change. All you can do is bring them the opportunity, you know, to change and make those programs available, and our drug court here is doing a fantastic job, I believe.
Yeah. But what we're up against, I guess, is a lot of people out there, and some people in office today, who believe that, well, if you break the law, you got to do the time, we're going to put you in jail. That's end of story. That's the way it's just going
to
be.
And I used to feel like that back in my early years, but now when you see the cost, I feel like if you do the crime, you don't necessarily do the time. If you do the crime, you're held accountable. And accountability ought to be a deterrent, you know, from you doing it again. But there are all kinds of ways. And with technology, with GPS systems, with, you know, home electronic monitoring, all this, you can do it so much cheaper if we would just get out of our box and use our thinking caps. It's easy to say, just lock people up and spend $30,000 a year. But I personally, as a taxpayer, don't want to pay that kind of money to provide somebody a nice warm meal and let them watch TV all day long.
Yeah.
When I could have them out there working or doing something different, it's more productive.
Absolutely. And I'm just naive. Do we do this now in Central Virginia, or do we put these guys out to work now in any way? Or
well,
is this something that you're working on and hopefully working towards?
Our local jail is fortunate that Corin Capshaw, you know, was affiliated with the Dave Matthews Band, was kicking in about $6,000 a month, giving it to the jail to have a very small community workforce program. Right now, the city and the county have started to chip a little bit in, but that's only five inmates that go out regularly, and they go out with one guard, and they clean up the highways as they enter the city limits. You know,
right,
those areas,
right.
People, you see all the cigarette butts and all that kind
sure,
of stuff.
Sure, sure.
So it's a very minimal use, and we've got 540 inmates in that jail. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if we didn't have about 100 that don't really need to be in that jail if there were alternatives. They could be held accountable without paying all that money. And doing something, my buddy down in Norfolk says, not only is it good for the community, it's good for the inmate. They get it there and work. You know, they feel better about themselves. If they do a good job, he'll assist them to try to locate a job. He has business people who will call and say, who's showing a good work ethic?
Yeah,
and he'll try to hook them into gainful employment. And when they get out of jail, they don't have that huge cloud. You know, they already have the knock against them that they've been in jail.
Yeah.
And they get out and they have $1,500, $2,000 worth of fines over their head. And then next thing you know, they're getting hammered because they hadn't paid those. They're back in jail for failure to pay court costs and fines. And it's just a revolving door. And you and I are paying for it.
Yeah, and we pay to, like you say, to give them a warm bed and three square meals and TV.
We do. We pay when they steal a bag of potato chips, and then we pay when they get locked up for it. So, you know, let's get out of the box and look at alternatives to that. And then, Corey, the last component of my platform was to keep an eye on the DNA data bank. And I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, I wrote Governor Kane and said, we're missing a lot of samples in the data bank.
Yeah.
And I received a letter back from the Secretary of Public Safety. And he convened a group of higher-ups, juvenile justice, Department of Corrections, so forth, and said that he would take all steps necessary to correct it. And I actually was part of the group towards the end, but what I'm afraid happened was they didn't correct it completely. And they swept back from all the people incarcerated or under supervision, and we found about 11,000 people that owed the system and samples were taken. But we're still missing those folks that are downstream that were off all forms of supervision. And I've asked them, I met with them 6 months ago and said, did you ever compare the DNA data bank to the database of known felons so we could compare them and see who's missing? They admitted to me that they never did it. And they had told me they were going to do it. It was never done. And I've asked that it be done. They've now told me they'll do it. And I said, now, when you give me that list, can you break it down to who's out there and knows the data bank that's been convicted of homicide and rape and robbery and so forth? And the state police have told me they have the ability to do that. And I've been waiting 6 months for that list. And I'm going to go public with that and see if we can't garner some support to go out and find these felons. And the last thing I'm going to do is a little more controversial. Probably by the end of the summer, I'm working on a position paper, and I was waiting for the economy to kind of straighten out because it's getting all the attention right now. I want to propose and see if those running for governor who would support expanding the database to take DNA sample from anybody in Virginia that you take a fingerprint from, so it would include misdemeanors. And my argument is, Dad Burnett, if your name and your fingerprints are already in a data bank, what difference does it make if we put a biometric fingerprint in there? And there's studies that show you will increase the number of hits tremendously. Virginia is already one of the leaders in the country, and I like to see us take that next step and expand that data bank, which will free more innocent people and convict more guilty folks.
We're talking with Chip Harding. He is sheriff of Albemarle County. The phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you've got a question or a comment for Chip, I know he'd like to hear from you, 977-1070. What do you think are the chances politically of, I think Bob McDonald might sign on to something like that, but I certainly don't want to speak for him. But what do you think? Do people, any other states do this kind of thing where misdemeanors?
No other states at this point take it from misdemeanors. We'd be the first. A couple of states are looking at it. Matter of fact, a lot of states are way behind us and have very small databases and get very few hits. You know, I've bragged before when I was with Charlottesville that in a three-year period per capita, we led the entire country on data bank hits and putting rapists and so forth in jail. And we also, one of the last cases that I was affiliated with before I left the department was a young law student was walking home, and a man came into the bushes and raped her. Within 30 minutes, she pointed at the man and said, that's the man right there to rape me. I'm positive. Well, within 1 week, the data bank said, no, that's not him. It's this fellow over here. And John Agee was arrested, admitted to it and was convicted and is now pulling a long, long term in a penitentiary. And that just shows the power of DNA.
It works, doesn't it?
It freed the innocent man and convicted the guilty. And as you know, with the Innocence Project, with Barry Scheck, fame, they have freed, I think it's about 17, 18 people from death row already, and over 125 people have been wrongly convicted of crime. And I fully support the Innocence Project. I think it's fantastic. And any states that are reluctant to allow DNA testing to prove someone's innocent, shame on them. Because locking up an innocent person is the worst thing I can imagine.
Yeah. And there are folks, for listeners who might not know, there are some states and some folks who drag their heels.
Oh, there are plenty.
Opening up old cases to review that DNA. But you would support that, certainly.
Absolutely. But to answer your question, I don't know politically who will support it. I want to find out. I know when I went door-to-door in my campaign, my wife and I knocked on over 5,000 doors. And I would say 95% or more of the people, when I talked to them about this issue, were fully supportive of the expansion of the data bank. Many said, if you're not going to commit a crime, why do you care? Everybody should give a sign. I mean, that's what I got from most of the general public.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be controversial, but I believe in it. I think it's the right thing to do, so we'll see what happens.
My guest is Chip Harding. He is sheriff of Albemarle County. Phone lines are open, 977-1070. Tyler is on line one. Tyler, you're on with Chip Harding. You go right ahead.
Chip, I think you answered my question before I got even a chance to pepper you with it, but I'm going to go ahead and lay it on you.
All right.
My inner libertarian started to freak out when you mentioned the misdemeanor thing, but then you started describing that rape case, which is an interesting one, and I was just going to say, all right, if you're going to sit there and say that this will free more innocent people, make the case, I think you just did, but that's the case you're going to have to make, correct?
Right. Yeah, that's definitely part of the case.
Not just to put people away, it's to get people out who shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the Innocence Project and what DNA is showing, it's showing us stuff about our criminal justice system that most people in the system don't want to admit. And that's there's been a huge problem with witness identifications. I'm sorry I missed it. The forum, they had Barry Scheck and one of his compadres with the Innocence Project speak at the university just in the last couple of weeks, and they said that they are also proposing that you videotape all interrogations. Now, in the city of Charlottesville, we started doing that 5 or 6 years ago, and I fully believe in that. I told my own children, if you ever do anything wrong or suspected, don't talk to a police officer. Get a lawyer or make sure it's being videotaped. I've been there in the early years when it wasn't videotaped. I personally never saw a crooked cop. But as you know, when you tell a rumor to someone, it changes from one to the next. And what I hear you say and what you mean to be saying could be two different things. So the way I might record it and remember it could be different. And I've seen that happen. You know, in my early years, I saw that happen. And the other thing that they are pushing, the Innocence Project is pushing, when you give a photographic lineup, that it should be given by an investigator or a police officer that has nothing to do with the case, who doesn't know who the real suspect is.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been in the room. I have been in the room in the early years when the victim's going down and pointing, and the police officer goes, so is that the one? You know, he's not telling you. Is that the one? Well, you got to be sure. Well, yeah, I'm sure. So you're sure that's the one? Okay, that's great. And it is the one. But see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They haven't broken any law, but they've tainted everything. And this is what the innocence when the DNA is proving people are innocent, they're finding that this kind of activity caused innocent people to be convicted.
It's funny. I tend to lean far more to the right than I do the left. But as far as the death penalty, I've always been opposed to it because in my heart of hearts, I know that innocent people are being put to death, and I can't stand that. I just can't sit with that.
I agree with you. I wrote, it's funny you brought that up, I wrote two term papers, one in high school and one in college, on why I was opposed to the death penalty for those reasons.
Yeah. Well, one of my friends is former professor Groot down at Washington Lee Law School, who worked on the death penalty, of course, for many years. He and his son and I were real good friends in college, and he recently passed away, but he was one of the nation's experts on the death penalty, and I remember I interviewed him one time. He is flat out against the most conservative guy you've ever met, Hunter, and he'll tell you the death penalty just doesn't work. He said it the only thing it's there for is for folks to get back at somebody else. It just serves the family of the victim, but it doesn't deter crime one bit, and you know that.
And it costs a fortune. representing these folks through all of those appeals and stuff, it costs the taxpayer more than if you let them live, actually. And who's to say that it's not more of a deterrent to have to sit in a cell the rest of your life versus being executed? And when we know technology's changing constantly, how do you know you don't have somebody that's been wrongly convicted? And it might be a technology 10, 20 years from now, like we didn't see DNA 30 years ago,
that
could actually free them.
We're talking with Chip Harding. Tyler, thank you so much for the call. Got a phone line open at 977-1070. So where do you go from here? What's front burner for you right now?
Well, right now, I've got a lot of front burners. I've got about 10 initiatives that my reserve unit oversees. And what I've done is, from a tactical standpoint, I went in and I moved any of the initiatives, almost all of them, they were over any of the full-time folks that need to concentrate on core service delivery, and I've put them over reserves that are very competent. I'll give you a couple examples. The senior triad, we work with the triad, and we present safety talks and prevention talks to our senior citizens. And Jim O'Kelly is one of my reserves that heads that up. And Jim is a retired military colonel, lives out in Glenmore, and has a PhD. So I think he's competent to do that, you know. Tim Payne and Tom Payne are brothers. They oversee search and rescue and Project Lifesaver. One of them owns a company here in town. The other one's a statewide fire marshal. They have the state certifications to do that. Internet crimes, I got Carlos Santillan. And he's the one that wrote a master's. He has a master's, and he wrote his thesis on internet crimes against children. And
so you find these really competent volunteers.
I have.
And then that way your team can sort of focus on core services.
And we're there to support. I'm trying to take nothing away. I know that the core services are number one, and that's what I'm elected to do, to protect the courts, serve the papers properly, and do the transport safely. That is always going to be number one. But any way we can add services and value to this community at really no cost to the taxpayer, why not do it?
Chip Harding is sheriff of Albemarle County, just a year and a few months into his term. Thank you so much for being here. It's good to see you.
Good being here.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.